is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem and it's complicated. Got a few changes and I just can't ignore the signs. Hear them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me growl, hear me howl when the full moon is out.
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating!
Yeah!
Welcome back to another episode of the new and I don't want to say improved, but new and functioning Unused Substitutes podcast. We are still the Green and Gold Gospel, the Rowdy's talk radio, except not talk radio, really, because we're not on radio at this point anymore. But we are here. My name is Matthew Cox. I'm joined by Ben Wilcox. No relation whatsoever to talk about the week that was for the Tampa Bay Rowdies and what's coming up this weekend, looking ahead to. So first, Ben, how you doing? How's it going tonight?
Doing pretty good, man. Had a nice busy day today, but I am excited to be sitting here with you.
You have a good fourth?
I actually worked. So I had to work the Rays game and we didn't win. So that was kind of sad, but it wasn't bad. I got home early, was able to watch some fireworks outside the house in the sweltering heat that is swamp of Florida right now. But it was nice, man. You?
I'm going to say, the heat was a lot of not fun yesterday, but I just took the dog out right before we sat down to do this. And it's like 85, which for this time of year is kind of brisk. I needed to go put a jacket on. It was very nice outside for once. It was pretty good. Had my hot dogs, had some apple pie, had a couple PBRs. So, you know, little good time. I was thinking about the Trop yesterday because they had mentioned that the Nathan's hot dog eating contest was canceled due to weather before they ultimately went on with it. It's like, you know, that doesn't happen if you have that in a dome.
Mm-hmm. Just you saying. That
could have been some of the entertainment at the game yesterday in America's favorite baseball stadium. And I think all would have been good. They should look into that for next year, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought that being inside of a dome could prevent you from having any weather delays?
I just love the idea of a hot dog eating contest being canceled due to weather. That's just fantastic. Speaking of sporting events and very hot temperatures, although I guess maybe this was a dry heat out there. We got a game to talk about. Let's just put it out there. The Rowdies are unbeaten since we started producing podcasts again.
You know,
I think this one's totally up to, even though they didn't quite hit either of our predictions. Rowdies did travel to Las Vegas last weekend and came out of there with a 2-1 win. Goals from Cal Jennings in the 14th minute off a, like, it might be, it's one of those, like, you know, you watch certain sports, like when I watch like NFL football, I always watch defense. I'm more of like in to see how the defense is doing. And, you know, offense is great, but being a Buccaneers fan, all you really had to cheer for years was defense. So that's kind of what I'm into. I don't know. Many people were like, oh man, that was a great throw in, but that was a fantastic throw in by Connor Antley to set up that goal. I don't know if he gets an assist for that or not, but he should. Because that doesn't happen. But he did get team of the week on the team of the week. So congratulations to Connor for that. Vegas tied it up later on in the first half. And we'll talk about this in a little bit when we talk about the game. But the game kind of felt like that was just going to be a 1-1 game, I thought. And then JJ Williams from out of nowhere just outside the box, and turns out not even in an area where he typically likes to take chances from, just turns and buries it in the back of the net late. 86th minute, the Rowdies get out of Vegas with a 2-1 win in a game that nobody will say is the best that they've played, especially Neil Collins. And we've got some of his quotes we can talk about in a little bit. But we'll get to that in a little bit. First off, I want to talk about the lineup. We knew that there was some, you know, guys potentially injured, guys potentially not able to play. And we thought we'd see some tweaks to the lineup and some tweaks to the formation. And they came out in what kind of has generally been agreed as like a 4-2-4. What were your thoughts when you saw the not the formation graphic, because that had Connor Sparrow playing in like three positions except goalkeeper. But the actual like lineup and formation itself, what were your thoughts when you saw that that information come out?
Yeah, that graphic was absolutely fascinating, wasn't it? I mean,
incredible.
I mean, I have seen some interesting ones over the years, even from the old NESL days. That one might date the cake.
I also really love the halftime thing where they were putting up kind of like league news and about all the teams that are on unbeaten streaks, including Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay, who each they claimed had won 9 straight.
Mm hmm. It's like
unbeaten in 9, yes. 1-9 in a row, not quite.
Yeah, not so much.
Not for either. But back to the lineup. What do you think when you saw that?
So, I mean, I guess I wasn't surprised when I saw they put Dennis on the outside. I mean, we knew there was going to be tough. We talked about it last week. It was tough to figure out how they're going to fill that role. Dan's not quite ready for 90. Dalgaard, who was on the bench, you know, but you knew he wasn't going to be ready to come back that soon after what was considered an injury. We don't know exactly what it was. I was curious to see if Dennis was going to be the guy to put out there. And sure enough, they did. Other than that, the lineup looked pretty standard. I mean, for what I expected with the guys that we know that are healthy. To be fair, I mean, I think we can all agree now. I mean, obviously understanding this is due to the fact we have injuries and other things going on. Playing on the right hand side is not Dennis's strength at all. It just didn't mm-hmm. work. He was very ineffective out there. And you know, that's no fault to him. It's not where he plays. He needs to be in the middle where he can be creative. But you know, hey, hats off to him for trying to fill the role and doing what he did. I mean, he did the best he could with what he had. So
yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think we're gonna get into a little bit is that the and like I said, Neil says it himself, and I've got kind of the post-game quotes here. Neil says, everyone knows how much emphasis we put on the performance. The performance wasn't there tonight. There were very, very few small patches of what we wanted to see, but far, far too small for our liking. So from a performance perspective, a lot to look at. I can't emphasize how difficult it is when you come up on the West Coast trips with the 3-hour time difference, plus the climate is different. These things all add up. Taking that into account, you've got to recognize that as well. And something, you know, they had mentioned this right at the very beginning of the game. It was something like 102 or something like that. In Vegas, the referee never called for a water break in either half, which seemed kind of interesting.
Yep.
But yeah, I think the combination, you know, we know the travel effects because we see it when West Coast teams come here and we see it when the Rowdies go out there. I wasn't surprised to see them affected by number one, the travel, number two, the climate, the weather conditions. And then you got to consider the like pitch itself. I mean, it didn't look like it was great. And also just the size of the field, it seemed really narrow, which doesn't tend to lend itself to helping the Rowdies play the way they generally like to.
Yeah.
None of that stuff surprised me. The overall like performance probably was more off than I thought it was going to be. There was just passing and crossing was just. It was not great. No. And I don't think the players would deny it. Neil obviously didn't deny it. And Vegas, despite not being a very good team, I think right now they're probably, last in the league overall on points. He also says out there, where is it? I'm trying to find this. So this is Neil talking about picking up 7 out of 9 possible points from this 3-match road trip. Yep. You've got to be satisfied from the points perspective to pick up 7 points out of 9 with 2 trips out west against El Paso and Las Vegas. The thing people need to recognize is that it took Louisville until the 88th minute to beat Vegas, and El Paso had a really hard time getting 3 points off of them. Like, Vegas isn't great. They're just a little bit behind everybody else, but they're not someone you just come out and run all over. I think they got a win last night, actually, If I remember that, they played last night. I think it was a late winner for Vegas, or they at least got a point out of it. And then especially we saw, and I really don't want to get back into the thing that, you know, Dan and Steve and I always did about how the referee managed the game. But there seemed to be some stretches there where the both sides were kind of like, oh, you're not going to call stuff. I'm just going to go take everybody out.
Yeah.
And just kind of push and see where we can get away with this and what we can get away with. It's they're not great, but it's, you still have to put in the effort to do it. They did it. I'm more than satisfied with the results, if not the performance. It was one of those, and we talked about this after the game a little bit on Saturday night. This is one of those games where, you know, a year or two ago, when that thing gets tied up at one in the first half, like that's going to go the next 55, 60 minutes as a 1-1 game, because, you know, they weren't playing well. The conditions weren't great. It's, you know, the there isn't always a plan B. It doesn't seem like sometimes it's like, let's keep doing what we do and try and make it work. And you don't see things like JJ Williams taking a shot out of nowhere outside the box that goes in. Like it would be, they would continue to try and cross it in and try and do, you know, either a goal from near range, maybe something off a set piece, a free kick or a corner or something, and would just keep trying that. And then it probably ends up as 1-1, but JJ really put the team on his back. And, you know, we had mentioned, we given a lot of love to JJ, and his goal is up for one of the goals of the week. So make sure you go vote. The voting closes tomorrow. Tomorrow on Thursday, who knows when we're actually going to publish this. But that goal from Cal was fantastic as well too, and I think he's got to get credit for that. I mean, Connor gets the throw into him perfectly, but he gets himself in perfect position. And I don't really remember the last time I've seen a goal like that, where someone comes diagonal from one side and puts it top corner on the far side to open up that game. Like Cal's starting to click a little bit, and it's Vegas, but still to go out there and do what you're supposed to do, like that's kind of what we need to see happen in some of these games.
Yeah, well, that was a striker's goal. I mean, that's exactly what that was. If you look at the way he carried that ball at full stride, first off, it was his chest and his thigh, and then straight to his foot. I mean, with the outside of his foot at that, so it was a curler away from the goalie into that upper 90. It was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, that was a striker's goal. That's what we had expected to get from him. And I mean, if you look, and to your point, like you said, every single week, these goals that he's scoring are not just poacher's goals. He's getting beautiful goals from different ways, and he's putting them in the back of the net with just absolute class. And yeah, it's been fun to watch him just get more and more comfortable on the field. And again, if you look, him and JJ are mixing well again up top. I like the way the two of them are starting to get in sync with one another. It just it can only mean good things for us going forward. And then to your other point was like JJ's goal. Holy moly. I mean, that one touch to turn and then straight under the strike in the upper 90. I mean, oh, gosh. I mean, Neil had said something in post game where he was talking about that's not typically what he wants JJ to do or what he's asking you to do. He likes JJ to get those goals on the, inside the six. But it's nice to know that he's got that in his bag and he can do that because, you know, in a moment like that in a game where I was in the same place, I'm like, this game's 1-1. It's staying 1-1. It's not changing. There was nothing to make it seem like anything was going to change anytime soon. And it took an absolute wonder strike. Somebody like JJ putting the team on his back and saying, no, we're winning this, and putting that ball in the back, and that's what he did. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. But yeah, between those goals, I mean, where they scored to that point, there wasn't much. But, you know, hats off to Vegas. I mean, look, as much as we complain about this field, because it's bad. I mean, let's just be honest. It's bad. I mean, as a pitch guy, it's bad. It's small. The ball was bouncing funny all over. Like, if you watch the ball, the way it was rolling along the grass when nobody was touching it, it's bouncing. Mm-hmm. That tells you a lot about the kind of the field they're playing on. That's right. Tough for anybody. Now, granted, both teams are playing against it, but similar to the same way that Louisville was at Old Slugger. I mean,
I was going to say that.
How to play their field.
Slugger, you know? Flashbacks with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's bounces. Like, Vegas knows how to play on their field, and rightfully so. I mean, look, if I'm Vegas, I'm a Vegas fan. I want to take full advantage of the fact that's our home field. You know, I get it. But I mean, Vegas took it to us. I mean, they had over 17 shots. I mean, now granted, only five were on target, but they had 17 shots. I mean, they were pouring it on. They had 55% possession. Over 355 passes. Their accuracy was like 76%, which is insane, because it didn't feel that way. It felt like the ball was getting turned over quite a bit. But
yeah,
I mean, it's just like they put on a quality game for, I mean, like you said, I don't care that they're the last place. I mean, they're not far behind.
Yeah.
You know, it's just still a bunch of, you know, young men that are professionals that want to win, and they put it out there. They were ready to take it to us.
Yeah. I mean, if you had Andrew Carlton getting more, you said 17 shots, 5 on target. I think the other 12 were Andrew Carlton, just delivering souvenirs to the crowd in the first half. I think everybody behind the goal in the first half got one off, like, you know, the 5 shots that went way over the bar. They were going to come out there and take their chances. And it was, yeah, this was a game where we needed to go out and score early. Cal does it, you know, in the 14th minute. And you kind of felt like, okay, this might kind of be the floodgates opening, but, Vegas came ready to play. And I think they usually do. The talent isn't always there. They were talking about the keeper was like a fourth string keeper that ended up starting because of injuries and trades and transfers and stuff last year. That's kind of the situation they're in. It wasn't the best performance. It was a fantastic result. I'll take it. I would rather play bad and win than play great and lose. Exactly. If we're going to do the old original white men can't jump comparison there, because 3 points is 3 points. That 3 points puts the Rowdies into a 3-way tie for most points in the Eastern Conference, tied with Charleston and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Charleston gets the advantage for having one more win over Pittsburgh. And as best I can tell, because Pittsburgh they've played the same number of games and the Rowdies have more wins, but the goal difference is the same. The next tiebreaker, I believe, is head-to-head points, which is where Charleston also has the advantage over Tampa Bay, because Charleston has played one more game, has the same number of wins, has a -1 goal difference. I was tweeting about this Saturday night after the game. The goal difference stuff in the East is incredible. Yep. Because you have Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh have the highest positive goal difference. Both and then you only have one other team with an actual positive difference, and that's Memphis with 8. And that was after they gave up 6 goals against Phoenix on Saturday night. Like they came into the night at positive 14, ended up with at 8. Indy has 0. And everybody else, Louisville in 5th place, -2, Birmingham 6th place, -5, Tulsa 8th place, -8, Loudoun -13, Detroit -6, Miami -9, Hartford -14. It's insane. But where I was going with this to start with before I went off on that tangent, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay hasn't played yet, so they don't have the head-to-head points, which is like the second and third tiebreakers, I think, are points head-to-head wins or points from head-to-head games. So Pittsburgh gets it on whatever the next thing is. It's like average points. I think the tiebreakers are weird. Just go back to wins and goal difference as your first two, I think, would be better, especially now that you have everybody playing everybody. But I don't know. They can take a look at that later. But Rowdies with a game in hand on Charleston and same number of points, played the same amount of games as Pittsburgh and have one more win. Got to keep an eye on Memphis. Memphis has played 2 fewer games and are only 3 points behind. So when we get around to playing Memphis, hopefully we'll get the Memphis that played Phoenix and not the Memphis that's played everybody else so far. Would be nice.
Right.
We'll see what happens. But the next thing, and we used to do this on the show originally, and I just kind of threw this out there, was the good, bad, and ugly. What's your good, bad, and ugly from this game? And we've kind of hit on a bunch of this stuff already, but if you have like one specific good, one specific bad, one specific ugly, what do you got?
Well, I think just because it's what started us off, it's got to be that Cal Jennings goal. Was absolutely beautiful. It was what you want to see from a guy like him, and considering the start he had to the season and what he's been able to come through mentally and to start producing the way he is, that goal was absolutely gorgeous, and you wanted to see that. We talked about it last week. You'd hope that he was going to come into this game hot, and I mean, I think what he did in that getting that first goal was huge for us. So that would be my good.
Okay. I'm going to put out there, and this is something that, that can be kind of tough on some of these road games, is discipline. You know, Rowdies have – you got a couple players who were like, well, here's the typical so-and-so card. Rowdies got out of that game with no yellow cards, which I thought was pretty good, especially Forrest Lasso already on six. So, you know, two cards away from a an accumulation suspension to push that off a little bit. That was good. So I'm happy to see that. What about your bad?
Bad would be that awful, awful field. Oh my gosh. I mean, I can't take it. I mean, and maybe I'm always going to be biased and lean this way because of just my history with working on pitches. But good God. And what was with the tire mark in the middle of the field?
See, okay, that was my ugly. What's the tire mark? What's the two treads coming like the length of the field, but from one sideline to the other? The only thing I can think of, because I swear I've seen pictures, they have like an Elvis mascot that rides around on an ATV. I think I've seen before. But why would you have him do that? Because that had to have happened like immediately before the game. Yep. Like in the pregame stuff, like why would you do that? Notice,
at the top corner of the broadcast was a ambulance on the top left corner up by the wall. And my guess is that might have been from the ambulance driving across the field because not drive across the field. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because it looked like it was dual tires the way it was going. And I'm thinking to myself, what in God's name is big enough to drive over the field and do that? Like the mower is not going to do that.
I thought you got out there with the jet ski or something for a little bit. I was waiting for the video to post.
If I got out there, I would have tore that thing up. I would have tricked everyone around on that thing.
Yeah, that my ugly. Just the field overall, especially the tire marks. My bad, and you know we talked about it. This just the overall performance, not great. But at least that's something you can be improved on. You can't improve the result when it's over. The result we got that we needed, so that was good. I'll take that. Your man of the match.
Well, to finish off with the ugly, you.
Kind of, yeah.
So mine was going to be the way that we played. It just wasn't very good. So, I mean, plain and simple, it was ugly. I mean, we didn't look good. We looked flat. We didn't look cohesive. We looked like we couldn't figure out what to do other than just try to get the ball wide and launch it in the middle somewhere and pray. It was ugly. The whole play was ugly.
You can get away with that with Vegas, but you can see it not. You can't run away with a game against Vegas like that. No. Oakland's coming to Al Lang on Saturday. Oakland is a little bit better. They're currently in the eighth spot for playoff positions in the West.
Yep.
That same effort probably can't get that result against Oakland, but I don't think you see that same result at Al Lang this weekend. So
I was going to say, being that it's going to be at Al Lang, we're going to see our guys playing the way that we want to play. And hopefully you've got Delgard and Dayon both back. You can split those minutes.
And that's, you know, they both came on in the second half and looked fine. You know, I was kind of knowing the way that Dayon plays, I was, you know, worried how fast he was going to tire himself out in the heat in Vegas. And I wondered if, you know, maybe, especially saving him for the second half and maybe even if, because I think he came on like right after halftime, didn't he? I wouldn't have been surprised if they held him a little bit later in hopes that it was going to cool off some more before they put him out there, because he just burns a ton of energy when he's out there. I was a little worried about him. And then Dalgard came in and, you know, didn't seem to be suffering too much from the injury from before. So whatever it was, doesn't seem to be a big deal. Looks like he'll be fine to go for the rest of the upcoming games.
So Harris was on at the 46th.
Okay.
Dalgard came on in the 71st for Jennings, and then Lucky came on for LaCava in the 85th.
Yeah, that's right. We got a Lucky sighting. Lucky with his 149th all-time USL appearance, if I recall correctly. So he's got one more to get to 150, and he's still two goals away from 50 all-time in USL. Maybe we can make some progress towards both of those this weekend. We'll see. Yeah. Man of the match, who you got?
So mine is unsurprising because, he made team of the week, and that is Connor Antley. He was like a man with his hair on fire. He was all over covering all over that right-hand side. And I think with not having a partner on that right-hand side, and again, I've already said my piece about Dennis. I think he did what he could, but I think Connor had a lot more to do because of who he had his partner on that right hand side, and I thought he played his ass off, and I absolutely love what he did.
You're not just saying this because we know that Connor listens occasionally.
Maybe, but Connor knows I love him anyway.
I got to, you know, I'm a simple guy. I got to give it to JJ. It's one goal, but you know, it's not a common place for him to shoot. Yep. It was the right goal in the right time at the right place. It's almost like watching hockey, and you're like, just put it on the net and see what happens. Yep. Take the shot and see what happens. I mean, the goal that that Vegas gets to tie it up, they put it on net. Sparrow doesn't get, you know, doesn't really get a hand on it, slaps it down and ends up, you know, getting scored on the rebound. Sometimes take a chance and see what happens. Maybe you score, maybe you get a chance for someone else to come in and poach one. You never know what happens. It's something, you know, that kind of have been wanting to see sometimes when plan A isn't working, maybe go to plan 1A or 2A, whatever you want to call it. So I'm going to throw mine out there for JJ. Good for him. Needed it.
Yeah.
All right. So we already kind of talked about standings a little bit. I'm not going to run through back on that. But let's talk a little bit about some league and club news. And we have a listener question that you've kind of already alluded to a little bit. So we'll get your info here. First off, we meant to put this out there last week, and it would have been a lot more fun to talk about it last week, really, than it is now. But congrats to Ryko Rosarena, was called up for national team duty with Cuba in the Gold Cup. First game, they lost, but he played pretty well. Saved a penalty, was kind of like the star of the night on social media. Fox Sports was tweeting about some of his saves and the penalty stop and stuff like that. They did lose their next two games, not great overall, but it's cool for him to get out there and get a chance to play a little bit. So congratulations to Ryko for the experience at least, but Cuba's out of the Gold Cup. He'll be back with the team. I'm sure we'll see him at Al Lang on Saturday, but I don't know if he'll be dressed or on the bench or anything. The newest power rankings are out, and I kind of laughed about this a little bit because when I was a kid, I was like a really big college football fan, and there was always like the two different polls. There was like the AP, and then there was like the UPI or something. So sometimes teams would be different rankings and different polls, and they would have to like list their multiple rankings. I started in the last couple of months subscribing to Backheeled, which is doing some great job with some independent coverage of especially lower division soccer with USL Tactics and some of their other people there. So they put their power rankings out, and then USL put their power rankings out. Backheeled had the Rowdies at fourth overall, moving up, I think, a spot or two. The league, to like the official one, bumped the Rowdies up to first place overall in the league. I don't know if I think they're as low as fourth, but I don't know if I think they're as high as first either. I'm going to say reality. If I did power rankings and actually paid attention to other teams in the league, I might, you know, I like second or third maybe feels about right, but that's just kind of cool to see some recognitions. We talked about Connor Antley got recognized for Team of the Week. Yep. Had some contributions to both goals. JJ Williams' goal is up for Goal of the Week. And in my totally biased opinion, should be the winner. And we had one listener question. We kind of put it out there, and you know, Twitter's been a weird place lately, so don't know people. We actually got a chance to see it, and then we changed our recording day from we were supposed to do this tomorrow on Thursday night, and then your work schedule got switched around, so we're doing this on Wednesday night. So we did have, let me see if I can find it here again. Was from, I want to believe it was Rowdies UK, and they said, hold on, we may have even have some extra ones here now that I've got the stuff pulled up. Where is it?
Yeah, well, you looked it up. I was going to say, hats off to Ryko, by the way. I wanted to shout him out. I mean, that was awesome seeing him play for a game that I would not have watched. I did watch because he was playing, so that was cool. Definitely need to see him out there.
All right, from our buddies, Rowdies UK, which field was worse, Las Vegas or Louisville's old field, Slugger, and why is it the Red Bull 2 Stadium? Jonathan Silva jumped in with a shout for, you mean Memphis? So I just want to say overall, and you've mentioned this, you're the pitch guy, you're always kind of taking a look at these conditions. What's the worst field you've seen the Rowdies play on away?
There's a couple really bad ones, but And maybe just because I have shell shock from it, but that slugger field was so bad. And it wasn't just because the pitch was bad. The lip between the turf and the infield mm-hmm. and the grass was like an inch off. And every time the ball traveled across it, it jumped about a foot in the air. And I remember watching those games thinking to myself, because we could not win there. Like, just couldn't win.
I mean, and because it was about the width of a yardstick, too.
Well, that too. But I mean, the grass in the outfield wasn't terrible, but that infield was so bad and that turf overlay was so bad that it might go down as one of the worst in my recent memory. I know he brought up Ribble too. I mean, I'm sure that one's bad. I don't remember it. Maybe I just don't want to remember it.
It's a college campus stadium they play at. I think it's all turf and everything. And I don't think it's that great overall. Memphis is another like converted baseball stadium, right? But it's still in use as a baseball stadium. So there's a little bit of those obstacles that they have to deal with, I think.
Right. I believe so.
There's one that clearly sticks out of my mind. The old, Bethlehem Steel / Philadelphia Union 2 field. And I don't even remember it was so much for the field itself, but I remember that there were shots of like where the teams had to change. There wasn't actual like dressing rooms. There were like portable classrooms or something they had set up behind the bleachers for the guys to change in, or like tailgate tents for them to go like sit under. And then there's one stadium, and I cannot think of which one it was off the top of my head, but all I remember is if you were setting up for a corner kick, the corner actually like went up at an angle. It's like slanted up. I want to say it was another one of these like stadiums where there was like a track or something around it. It slanted up, and then you were literally right against the like the advertising boards there. Like there was no like room to run up or anything like that. I can't think of the life of me what it was. I want to say it was an old NASL stadium that
probably would make sense. Yeah, I want to go ask Dabo and Neil. Now I want to go when I see them on Saturday.
Yeah.
Ask them if they remember. Like, what's the worst one they played on?
Because, yeah, the slugger one always sticks out in my head because and look, if it had been our field and you know we were used to playing on it and we'd be calling it home field advantage, but the like you mentioned, the condition of the surface, but the fact that like the thing was just like a driveway. And Louisville was able to build their team to play on that surface and get results, and the way Neil sets up the team to play, like play wide and take the ball up the wings and all this stuff. It shut down everything that he ever wanted to do. I was so glad to see them move into that new stadium. It's
sweeter to go win one right there and to be there as they won that one.
I'm looking into making some trips and sometime in the near future. I might be doing the Miami trip this year. We'll see. But that was one of those, like, I need to go to Louisville sometime. I would like to do that.
So that was cool. The year that we went and we played them in the Eastern Conference final, they flew us out as a team up there and we got to sit in a box right next to the owner, which in and of itself was absolutely awesome.
Right.
But the stadium itself, I mean, like,
oh, it looks fantastic.
It is incredible.
I've watched some of their games. I've watched some of the Racing Louisville NWSL games. Like, that just looks like a great place.
Heck yeah. I mean, it's a great facility. The grass was kind of so-so, but I mean, the facility itself was absolutely incredible. I mean, it was an awesome place to win. And then to win it the way we did that, it was so cold. I think I was the only idiot with a little short sleeve shirt on, but there's a picture in the ticket office. If you ever get a chance to go in there against the back wall, when you walk in and it's all of us staff members, all but 12 of us at the time, up there in the owner's box, all cheering. And there I am with the mask on, short sleeve shirt, just going like, yeah. And I just feel like that was so indicative of that entire night. It was just,
But, little did anyone know at the time that last time anyone was celebrating that that season, because then the final got canceled.
Yeah. We all had to take COVID tests like a week later.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, luckily, And this was a good question because it kind of helps lead into the next part. Luckily, the Rowdies aren't going to have to deal with any bad pitch issues this week because they're going to be at home at Al Lang, especially considering the opponent coming in. Because if they were away to Oakland, I think Oakland's played in like four or five different stadiums in the last 2 years because of terrible pitch conditions. I think they had that portable pitch that was Rio OKC's for a little bit, and games got called off because like there's like rusty nails and crap in it. We watch some of the games where it looks like it's you're watching like a Super Nintendo game being played because of the color of the turf. But it's going to be a glorious Al Lang. It's going to be at the Cathedral of Florida Soccer. It's going to be a great time this weekend. Oakland's coming in. And luckily, that doesn't mean that Juan Guerra is coming in to coach against us. We already dealt with that once a season. I hate seeing that. I love Juan too much. Yeah. Oakland currently sits eighth in the Western Conference. They are 6-5-5 overall. They are 3-3-2 away, and they are 1-1-3 in their last five. Their last match last weekend, they lost 2-0 at home to Rio Grande Valley FC. Some other things Oakland's been in the news for. There was some big buzz about them the other day. They transferred a 18-year-old midfielder named Ethan Kohler to Werder Bremen in Bundesliga. So, I was like, oh man, that's great. Let me go see how big a part of the team he's been this year. He hasn't really had any impact. I don't know if he's even played. He's not up there in goals or assists or shots or anything else. So whatever, but congratulations to him. I do have one former Rowdy on the team. Defender Tarek Morad is there. So making his little homecoming back to Al Lang this weekend. Taking a look at them stats wise, they are led in goals by Darius Formello with 6. Johnny Rodriguez has 5. Lindo Mfeka with 3. Assist Napo Matoso with 3. They've got 4 guys tied with 2. Guillermo Diaz has set up 19 chances, and then Mfeka close behind with 15, and Formella with 14. Got some other fun stuff going on this weekend. It is buy one, get one Bud Light, which is good because it's going to be hot. You can stay hydrated by getting the closest thing to water that you can get that's not actually just water. There's also, I got an email, I think there's a pregame bar crawl going on. It's going to be the last time that we see Rowdies at home until the very end of July. They won't be back home again until July 29th, which is going to be the Pride Night game. Unfortunately, just found out this week that I'm going to miss that one. My out of town trip to do some family business that got delayed when I decided to spend a week in the hospital is being rescheduled for that weekend. So this is kind of my last chance to go see the team this month. It's also the first time in like a month I've been able to go. I'm actually like last week and this week a little bit, like finally like feel like normal again. So I'm looking forward to going. This whole weekend is just going to be kind of cool for soccer in general, because we've got that on Saturday. Yeah. We've got a U.S. men's and women doubleheader on Sunday. The women have their World Cup send-off game against Wales at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And then the men are playing Canada in the Gold Cup quarterfinals at 8 p.m. So I'm going to be down at Shamrock for that one. We're setting up some fun stuff. We're going to have some food trucks out there. We're going to have some stuff going on. Nice. So if you're south of the Skyway, come hang out. I'm going to have to like run home in between games to let the dog out and go to the bathroom and stuff. But, it'd be fun. Any thoughts on Oakland? Like, haven't really been a big deal this year, but they are in playoff contention. I mean, the teams that are outside the playoffs right now in the West, I don't know if it's more that Oakland has played their way in or they've just been good enough to not be booted out. But
I mean, they're 6-5-5, right? I mean, if you look at the teams 2 above and 2 below, I mean, they're basically all the same.
Right.
I mean, they're sitting right now with like 21 goals for, 17 goals against. So they're letting goals in as much as they're scoring. So,
yeah. So the keeper has like 7 clean sheets on the year, but has let in, like I said, like 17 goals. There's opportunities to be had. They're going to be dealing with the travel and the time and everything. I don't know how much weather is going to affect them, although, possibility of some rain this week and maybe on Saturday, maybe it's going to have a little impact on the field. Yeah, I mean, they're only a point ahead of New Mexico and Orange County, who are the next two teams out, and they're only a point behind San Diego and 2 points behind Phoenix. So, yeah, they're kind of – that whole, like, chunk of the West is all just really close together.
Yep, there's about five or six teams that are all just all bunched in there together right now that really could go any way. So, I mean, I haven't followed Oakland, if I'm being completely honest. I haven't really paid too much attention to them.
Right.
But from the little bit that I do know, I mean, they're a very beatable team. I mean, it seems like if the floodgates open, they open, and if they don't, they don't. So,
yeah, I'm going through their games, like mutual opponents. They've tied, they drew one game with Rio Grande Valley, lost another one. Rowdies beat RGV. Mm-hmm. They beat New Mexico. So Rowdies, we drew with Indy beginning of the season. They beat Indy 3-0 in Indy. Pretty decent result, but they lost to Hartford, who is, I think Hartford and Vegas are tied for the least points in the league right now.
Yep.
They lost to Loudoun. They drew Miami. They beat Birmingham 4-1 in Birmingham. Their road wins are kind of pretty impressive. Let's see.
But I got to feel like, I mean, for the Rowdies to get that win the way we did, I really feel like we're going to come in and play our game this week. I mean, the guys are going to be hungry, too. I think after the performance they put out last week, they're going to want to come in this week and really show that that was just a fluke. That's not who they are, and that we can do a lot more, back to what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. You know, plus, I mean, we're on the tail end of three games away? I mean, that's tough, man. They want to be at home, and it's going to be hot. It's going to be soupy. It's going to be our home. You know, Oakland's going to have to adjust. I mean, one way or another, they're going to have to adjust. It's going to be a game for us to really pour it on them and hopefully get on them quick.
So another one of those games where, seems like a dumb statement. You always would like to score as early and as often as you can. But put them behind early, make them expend the energy to try and play catch up, press them in the first half, try and wear them out, throw on Dayon in the second half to run circles around them and put them away. Kind of what the plan seemed to be with Vegas too. Just didn't plan on letting Vegas score and leveling that game in the first half. But other than that, the overall game plan seemed to go pretty well. You want to make any predictions about this one?
I'll let you go first on this one because I don't have any right off the top of my head. I got to think.
I'm going to go, and my predictions are always just kind of gut feelings with no logical basis in fact or explanation. I'm going 2-0 to the Rowdies.
Ooh, okay. I was actually going to go a little more than that. I think this is going to be one of those where there are going to be goals,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's going to be goals for both sides. So I'm going to go 4-2
Rowdies. Okay. Okay.
So I think Cal Jennings is going to find himself in the back of the net more than once this week.
So you're predicting both keepers taking advantage of the buy one, get one Bud Lights and just having a hard time stopping shots at all.
I think it's going to be that kind of a game. Yep. I think it's going to be 4-2. I think, if you look at the way we've played lately, we've had some mental breakdowns in front of the net. I mean, I wish we had it, but we have. And I mean, look, and Connor Sparrow has done everything he can. I mean, look, he had some beautiful saves. I mean, that were game changing against Vegas. I mean, he'll give us a chance, but if the defense keeps doing what it's been doing, if history has taught us anything about this defense right now, is that we're going to let one or two in. We just are. We're going to have a breakdown. The question is, can our offense maintain and do what they do and put more than we're letting in? So,
right. Which, that seemed to be the plan overall when they brought in guys like Cal and JJ was to continue last year's goal scoring form. And yeah, you're going to let a couple in, but you're going to score more than you concede. And it looks like right now, that's where they're starting to pick that up. They're starting to get back to that track.
Yeah.
Agreed. What do you think formation? Do you think we're going to do the same kind of formation we start out with, four in the back, or you might think we might go back to the 3-5-2? What any predictions for that?
I'm not a fan of the 3-5-2, so I hope not. I hope we go back to the 4-2-4 or whatever it is you want to call it.
4-3-2,
right. Or 4-3-3. I mean, I, as long as Dalgard is good, I say give Dalgard the first half, give him that outside, and then give Day on the second half. I mean, if you got to do it 45-45, so be it.
Right.
But I want to see Dennis back in the middle. He is not nearly as effective on the outside of the field. I think if Dalgard could get you 45 solid, like with nothing left at the end of that 45, then I think that's what you got to do. I think we got to put our best lineup out there. Now, obviously, injuries are going to dictate how we go, but I seriously hope that we put him out there. I don't want to see Dayon start. I love Dayon to death, but he is a second half killer.
Yeah. He's absolutely fantastic in that role. All right. Well, anything else we need to throw out there before we wrap it up?
I'm actually going to get to be a fan of this game. So I will not be working. So I'm super excited about that. I will be in the midfield seats with a friend. I'm bringing a friend down from Gainesville and her son to their very first Rowdies game. So I got them gear and everything. So,
oh, nice.
I will make my way over to the mob at some point. So if you see me, feel free to stop me and say, hey, if I haven't met you, please. I mean, I'm pretty easygoing guy. I would love to meet people. And then, of course,
people like just shout random stuff at me sometimes at games, and I don't even know who they are, but they're like, we love the show. And looking at the stats on Spotify from the last episode, like, there's a lot of people picking this one up again. So you might get some random stranger shouting at you.
Well, good. Definitely say, hey, I love talking to people and I love talking Rowdies. Like every time I see Eureka out there, I'm always talking to him from the Rebel Alert podcast. Yep. So I always love sitting there talking to Eureka pregame. Got a shout out, though. It's somebody's birthday today.
Oh, yes, it is. It's the Emperor.
That's right. The man himself, Mike Pendleton. Happy birthday, man.
U.S. Men's Soccer Twitter's favorite person of the week, apparently. whatever. Twitter's a dead platform anyway. I say that I was just signing up for Threads from Instagram right before I got on air. They dropped the app a little bit early. Instead of tomorrow morning, it's out now. So I was a little bit late getting in here. Yeah. Happy birthday to Mike. I'm looking forward. I have not been to the stadium in a while. Like that, honestly, I think the last home game was when I started feeling really sick and I was dressed and ready to go. And I was just like, I can't do it. So I'm looking forward to it. I may have to dress up somewhat, depending on what the weather's like. So it will probably be very easy to find me. Let me just put it that way. let's just call it business casual. I will likely be hanging out at the Skyway Casuals tailgate before the game. I don't really have any plans for after the game, so I don't know. Maybe we can all meet up and go somewhere or do something. I don't know.
Yeah, just
not locals and.
Everyone says the same thing about this place.
Have you gone in there since it's changed over?
I haven't. This will be my first chance to go in there. I'm always working, so I never go over there.
Cool. They've got like 75 TVs on there. There's only like four things they're playing on all of them. It has no soul anymore. Like it's just I can't.
For those that are wondering, this is Old Corrigan's, and Corrigan's is a special place in our heart.
I mean, Corrigan's was an interesting place, but like, there's no vibe in there anymore, man. It's bad. I would walk down Central rather than just go to Corrigan.
That's saying something because that is not fun.
No,
it is a zoo.
We got to find a new spot. Bring back the Rowdies Den. Let's do that.
Yeah, who is it? Somebody has that sign. I sold it.
So when it first. Got sold. It was Derek that owned Shamrock down here in Sarasota had it. He ended up selling it, and it's I think Yard of Ale in St. Pete has it now.
Oh, really?
It's like out on their little like back patio area.
Nice. Okay.
Because they're trying to get Rowdy's folks over there. So maybe we'll stop there. We'll figure something out. Nice. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Ben, at the game on Saturday. Looking forward to just being out there again, even though it's going to be insanely hot and my outfit's not going to make sense for the weather, but I don't care. I'm going to drink plenty of Bud Lights to hydrate. If you're going on the pub crawl, mix in a bottle of water here and there. Please don't die of alcohol poisoning at the stadium. Then the ambulance might have to drive across the field for you, and we don't want ugly marks on our field either. Don't be that person.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. All right. We will put this out there either on Thursday or Friday. I'm thinking probably Thursday now since we got some time. We'll see people at the stadium on Saturday. We will hopefully get a show in sometime next week. We'll sit down and figure out time, and then we'll take care of it to talk about hopefully – another Rowdies win if our result predictions, if not our score predictions, hold up. Ben, thanks for joining me tonight. Thanks for doing this. I had a lot of fun. And let's go Rowdies.
Come on, you Rowdies.